materiellen Tätigkeiten bezeichnet, die das Lebewesen festhalten. Diese Kette, so kann man sich's vorstellen, ist mit einem Knoten im Herzen, dem Knoten des falschen Egos, an die ewige Seele befestigt. Ich möchte euch gerne ein Beispiel für diese Kette geben, welches Srila Prabhupada gegeben hat. Denn keiner von uns läuft mit sichtbaren eisernen Ketten herum. Es ist nicht so, dass als Narayani reingekommen ist, da hat es gerasselt und Ketten, die schlürften ihr hinterher. Wir sprechen also von unsichtbaren Ketten, genau wie wir gestern von einem unsichtbaren Knoten im Herzen gesprochen haben. Srila Prabhupada gibt als Beispiel den Geier an. Walcher. Der Geier steigt sehr hoch in den Himmel. Er schaut jedoch ständig auf das Kadaver, was am Boden ist. Er hätte eine wunderbare Aussicht vom Himmel. Er könnte alles überschauen. Er könnte Höhenflüge in seiner Philosophie machen. Er könnte das Beschwingte, die wunderbare Ruhe, die dort oben herrscht, kosten. Aber er denkt nur an fauliges Fleisch. Bisschen schon im Verwesungsprozess inbegriffen, was er mit hackigem Schnabel vertilgt. Das ist eine Kette, die im Herzen da ist. Er ist nicht frei, seine Freiheit zu nutzen. Er ist Gefangener. In genau der gleichen Weise sind die meisten Menschen mit einer Kette gefangen. Schaut euch vielleicht unseren Nachbarn an. Ich kenne ihn jetzt nicht und möchte nicht ihn. Ich habe sogar gehört, unser Nachbar ist ein liebenswürdiger Nachbar. Aber lasst uns mal sehen, wie er sein Leben führt. Er steht vielleicht um 8 Uhr morgens auf. Liest dann erstmal die sächsische Reinheitszeitschrift oder wie sie heißt. Schaut er sich das Radioprogramm an. Dann geht er, heute ist Sonntag, heute schläft er so und so bis 12 Uhr, aber an einem normalen Tag geht er dann an seinen Arbeitsplatz, regt sich über seinen Chef auf und spricht in der Pause polemisch über seinen Chef, kann aber so und so nichts ändern und geht zum arbeitet dann weiter, um dann abends seine anspruchsvolle Abendsunterhaltung zu pflegen, die wahrscheinlich aus einer Mischung aus Fernsehen, Sexualität und wenn er Glück hat, guten Gesprächen besteht. So, das wiederholt sich Tag für Tag, dieses Leben. Er ist nicht frei. Diese Freiheit ist zunächst einmal eine subtile Freiheit, die er nicht hat. Er kommt nicht auf die Idee, zum Beispiel etwas ganz anderes mal zu tun. Sagen wir mal, von morgens bis abends so richtig mal Goethe zu lesen. Oder einfach nach Indien zu einem heiligen Ort zu fahren. Oder irgendwas zu machen. Jeden Tag tut er diese Tätigkeit. Und selbst wenn er entlassen wird, träumt er noch weiter von der Arbeit. Mein Vater ist so eine Persönlichkeit. Er ist sehr hoch, nicht sehr, aber er ist einigermaßen gut positioniert in unserer Gesellschaft und er träumt immer noch von der Eisenbahn. Das ist seine frühere Arbeitsstelle gewesen. Er ist nicht frei. Die bedingte Seele wird von Ketten gehalten, Ketten fruchtbringenden Handelns. Und was damit gemeint ist, ist, dass es einfach verurteilt ist, ihre Tätigkeiten auszuführen, wiederholt immer wieder und immer wieder. Gestern haben alle von uns in Raja Vidyas Seminar einen imaginären Tod gestorben. Wir haben uns vorgestellt, dass wir heute Morgen sterben würden. Und wir haben dann nochmal unsere Aktivitäten reviewed, die wir taten. Und ich glaube, allen ist in den Kopf gefallen, dass sie ihre Tätigkeiten verändern würden angesichts des Todes. Das heißt, dass auch wir nicht frei sind. Wir tun Tätigkeiten, die wir nicht tun wollen. Tätigkeiten, die nicht für unser ewiges spirituelles Wohlgut sind. Nicht? Gestern haben wir von Braj Kishore gehört: You are on your deathbed! Du liegst auf deinem Todesbett. Eigentlich ist das die Situation, die wir haben. Wir sind zum Tode verurteilt. Wir tun jedoch angesichts dieser Tatsache tun wir eigentlich Tätigkeiten, zu denen wir gezwungen sind. Wir sind Prisoners, Gefängnisinsassen. So, ich habe, lass mich hier eine kleine Pause machen. Bhaktin K, to give you a short orientation, I will talk for 5 more minutes, then His Holiness Dhanuradha Swami will address us for an unlimited amount of time, and then Braj Kishore, and if we can find time, also you will just address us with something short, and it will be in English. Es geht praktisch darum, diese Unfreiheit, der wir alle ausgesetzt sind, diese Unfreiheit unseres karmischen Tuns zu lösen. Prabhupada erklärt in seinem einer Erläuterung nochmal, wie das geht. Durch den Vorgang des Bhakti-Yogas, so haben wir gehört, erscheint Krishna im Herzen und Krishna selber nimmt von uns die Ketten unseres Karmas. In der Brahma Sanghita gibt es einen Vers: Yastvinda Gopa Madhavendra Maho Swakarma. Das heißt, jeder, ob Indra, der gewaltige Regent dieses Universums, oder die Indra Gopa, das ist die kleinste biologisch messbare, also mikroskopisch messbare Bakterie. Jeder von oben bis unten unterliegt den Ketten, den Reaktionen seines fruchtbringenden Tun oder seines Karmas. Wenn Krishna Bewusstsein jedoch im Herzen gegenwärtig ist und Krishna im Herzen erscheint, wird dieses Karma von der bedingten Seele gelöst. Es gibt, um es genau genommen zu sagen, 4 Arten von Karma. Einmal Karma, was bereits manifestiert ist, das ist unser Körper mit unseren Wehwehchen, Zimperleins mit unseren Zimperleins, dass wir eine Brille tragen müssen, ist Karma. Dass wir so leicht abgelenkt sind, ist Karma. Und so weiter und so fort. In einer Vorlesung, die ich gegeben habe, die Kraft der transzendentalen Klangschwingung, habe ich darüber gesprochen, dass es ein Buch gibt, die Vishnu Sanghita, wo man seinen Körper mit analysieren kann und dann feststellen kann, was man im vorangegangenen Leben getan hat, damit man den Körper gekriegt hat. Zum Beispiel, wenn du schlechten Mundgeruch hast, you smell out of the mouth, die karmische Tätigkeit, die du im vorangegangenen Leben getan hast, ist, dass du schlecht über andere gesprochen hast. In previous life. This is what the Vishnu Sanghita says. Yeah. Oder eine andere Zivilisationskrankheit. Krampfadern. Varicose veins. Das bedeutet, dass man im vorangegangenen Leben exzessiv sexuelle Ausschweifung gehabt hat. Excessive sexual sense gratification. So, unser physischer Körper ist also mit anderen Worten nichts anderes als eine Manifestation karmischer Tätigkeiten. Und deswegen nennt man ihn Parapta Karma, manifestiertes Karma. Nun gibt es drei Formen des Aparapta Karmas. Ich möchte nicht zu technisch werden und einfach mal sie als eins, nämlich in dieser Kategorie unmanifestiertes Karma behandeln. Das sind Dinge, die karmische Reaktionen, die wir noch nicht sehen können, die aber im Laufe der Zeit sich manifestieren werden. Nicht? Das, was in der Zukunft auf uns zutreten wird. Nun ist durch die Ausübung eines echten spirituellen Pfades wird dieses unmanifestierte Karma von dem Transzendentalisten genommen. Wie? Wie geschieht das? Ich möchte euch ein Bild geben, mit dem das verständlich wird. Man kann dieses noch nicht manifestierte Karma, das, was in der Zukunft geschehen wird, mit einem Samen vergleichen, der noch nicht aufgegangen ist. In dem Samen ist bereits alles vorhanden. Die Blätter des zukünftigen Baumes, die Früchte des zukünftigen Baumes, die Äste, alles. Die spezifische Art dieses Baumes auch. Und das wird sich nach im Laufe der Zeit manifestieren. Wenn wir jedoch den Samen rösten, dann verliert er seine Keimfähigkeit und nichts mehr kommt raus. In ähnlicher Weise ist es auch mit unserem Karma-Samen, die wir tragen im Herzen. Wenn es uns gelingt, die zu rösten, manifestieren sich diese Dinge nicht mehr. Hier wurde gesagt, dass Krishna wie die Sonne ist. In der Sonne kann man Samen rösten. Wenn Krishna also im Herzen gegenwärtig ist, dann wird unsere unvermeidliche Zukunft ausgeschaltet werden. Das heißt, unser Karma wird verändern. Du kannst deine Zukunft verändern, Harald. Die, sagen wir mal, die Zukunft des Hans steht bereits in seinem Karma-Buch. Aber wenn der Hans zu Krishna das wird, dann muss sein Karma, also muss sein Lebensbuch neu geschrieben werden. Wir alle stehen in einem Buch. Das heißt, unsere Zukunft ist drin, dem Buch Yamaraj. Was würdet ihr tun, wenn ihr plötzlich feststellt, ich bin die Figur eines Autoren? Du bist einfach nur eine Nebenperson in einem Roman. Die erste Sache, man würde vielleicht versuchen, wenn man auf Seite 100 ist, auf Seite 300 zu blättern, um zu sehen, was da kommt. Die zweite Sache ist, wenn man merkt, ich bin ein Unfreier, dann würde man versuchen, aus dem Buch vielleicht rauszukommen. So ist es möglich, aus eurem Karma-Buch herauszukommen, indem ihr in das Krishna-Buch hineinkommt. Es gibt ein Krishna-Buch. Diese heißt die Kripa Patra. Das ist ein Mercy-Buch. Das ist das Barmherzigkeitsbuch von Krishna. Und wenn Krishna sieht, dass sich jemand im hingebungsvollen Dienst beschäftigt, im Krishna-Bewusstsein beschäftigt, so wird er ein aus dem alten Buch rausnehmen, mit Tippex, und er wird ein in das Kripa Patra einschreiben, mit unauslöschbarer Tinte. Ja, Krishna sagt, wer einmal den Vorgang des hingebungsvollen Dienstes angefangen hat, wird niemals zu Fall kommen, ganz gleich, was geschieht. So, Hare Krishna, das ist, was ich sagen wollte. Vielen Dank für eure Aufmerksamkeit. I'm proud. I only spoke 3 minutes longer than intended. I hope this won't be the knot of false ego now. Wir werden jetzt einen viel qualifizierteren Sprecher einladen, His Holiness Dhanoda Maharaj. Und dann kommen unsere lieben Überraschungsgäste, Raj Kishore und auch Bhakti und Kate, die uns etwas erzählen werden über ihre Revolution im Klang. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Oh yes, let me just arrange the translation for the non-English speakers. Gopal wird sich in den hinteren Teil des Raumes begeben und dort eine Übersetzung für diejenigen von euch zu geben, die nicht Englisch sprechen.
Tasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Samiti Namine. Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Prasthyatate Sitarine. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So there is a problem here because I have unlimited time to speak. And I have very little knowledge. Actually, when Satchinanda Maharaj was speaking, for a saintly person, more important than the literal meaning of his words is his feeling behind the words. So what he actually meant to say is that he very much likes to hear. So he would actually like to hear for an unlimited amount of time. That is his desire. But practically speaking, there's also not so much time to speak. But I think the verse here that is being discussed is a very, very significant verse because it discusses the most important moment in one's existence, and it's the moment where he becomes liberated. It's just like someone could be in prison for so many years and then there's a moment where he gets out. So that's very, very significant. So this is describing what happens at liberation. Liberation is one of the 10 subject matters of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's described as muktir hitva yata rupam sarupena vivastiti. Two things happen at liberation. You give up something and you get something. You give up Muktirhitva yata rupam. You give up one form, surupena vivastita, and you take another form. The form you give up is the misconception. The misconception that you are the enjoyer. And the form you accept is your real identity, that I am the servant. So this is actually the process of liberation. The process of liberation is changing this misconception by acting on the platform of servant of Krishna. I was also thinking, as we had discussed, we discussed yesterday in these verses, that this process that of chanting and hearing, it's a process of humility. It's the process of depending on the power of the Lord. Tesham satatayuktanam bhajatam prittipurvakam vidami buddhiyogam tvam yenu mam upayanti te. That for one who worships me with love and devotion, vidami buddhiyogam tvam, I give him the knowledge by which he can come to me. So here the process is described, that thus the heart, the knot in the heart is pierced. So what is that knot in the heart? The knot in the heart is the misconception. We have the wrong conception. And due to that wrong conception, we're identifying with the material body, which gives us the facility to be the enjoyer. The facility to be the enjoyer is not a position which we can have by our own constitution. By our own constitution, we are part and parcel of Krishna. The part is meant to serve the whole. So we cannot have that position as the enjoyer. In Sanskrit, there's two terms. One is called angi, and one is called anga. Angi means the body, and anga means the limb. So the limb is meant to serve the body. The part is meant to serve the whole. So if you're part of something, then you're meant to serve the whole. Actually, the term is even used in terms of when it's described in the Sanskrit dictionary, that the limb is described as that which nourishes or feeds. And the whole is described as that which is nourished or fed. So we are angi, we are anga, we are a limb and or a part of a whole. And the part is meant to feed the whole. That is our constitutional position. So if the part wants to become the whole, then it can only do so in illusion. So that is the basic cause of our, it's called false ego. It's a false conception. It's a false identity. False identity means that you can only assume that identity in illusion. Sometimes we can use the example, here's the body and here's the soul. So the soul the soul is different than the body, but it identifies with the body when it wants to have that illusion. Here's the Supreme, and here is us. We're the part of the Supreme. When we want to be the Supreme, which is a position we can't have by our own constitution, We can only have that position in a dream by thinking we're the Supreme. So therefore, when we want to have that desire, instead of being the part, to be the whole, we can identify with the material body, which allows us to act out the illusion that we're the enjoyer. So what is the cause of the soul identifying with the body? It's simply its desire to be the whole, or be the enjoyer, or be the one that's being fed or served, rather than being the one that is serving. So if that's the cause of us being in this material world, if that's the cause of this ahankara, ahankara means what? It means that, means the false ego or the false conception. So if that is the cause, the desire to be the enjoyer, the desire to be the whole rather than to be the part or the servant. So if that is the cause, that conception, then obviously the best method of liberation is to change that conception from the enjoyer to the servant. And that's what happens here by this process of devotional service. It says the misconceptions are cut. This word is here, samsaya. It means misconceptions. And how are the misconceptions cut? That by the process of devotional service, you become purified, and then you actually can perceive the truth. It says here in the previous verse, you gain positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. You actually get that perception. You can actually start to see that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that I am a servant. And when you actually begin to actually perceive that, then the misconception is given up that I am the enjoyer, that I am this material body. So this is, and then, as it mentions here, that actually one becomes free from karma. In the Bhagavad Gita, karma is described as to accept accept the material body by the force of material consciousness. That's how karma is described in Bhagavad Gita. Material consciousness. And what's material consciousness? That I should be nourished. That I'm the whole. And therefore I do everything for me. I do everything to serve my senses. I work in this world. Why do I work? I work because I'm the enjoyer, and I should be nourished. I should be served by everything else. It's this consciousness that causes karma, that causes us to be in this material world. The ahankara, the false conception. So, the way to get rid of that false conception is to by performing devotional service, which means the act of putting yourself as the part or the servant of the Supreme. This is called transcendental knowledge. And this is the most powerful thing to actually purify one. This this was also described very nicely by Satchinandana Swami, that it is due to desire that we're here in the material world. So the best way to get out of the material world is change the desire. And desire is like a taste or attraction. Just like you desire to eat one thing, it means you have a taste or an attraction for it. So if you want to change the desire which keeps you in this material world, which is the desire to be the enjoyer, then we have to get a taste for service. We have to get a taste for service of the Supreme Lord. So that's the process of Krishna consciousness, that when you begin to serve the Supreme Lord, because that's the constitutional position of the living entity, then you actually get a taste or an attraction for it, because it's very, very natural. It's described just like when you eat three things happen simultaneously. The pain goes of hunger, and you feel satisfied, and then also you get the taste or attraction. So by serving Krishna and associating with Krishna, it changes our desire. We actually develop a taste for Krishna consciousness. That taste is called Shraddha. And the process of advancing in Krishna consciousness is increasing that taste by the activity of Krishna consciousness, by serving Krishna. There's a parallel verse to this in the Bhagavad Gita. Maya, and the same words are actually used. Maya saktamana partha yogam yunjan marastraya asamsayam samagramam yata gyas yasi tachrinu. It describes the process of bhakti yoga. It says those who with just hear from me, how by full consciousness of me, one becomes attached to me and then can know me free from all doubts, free from all misconceptions. So that's the process of Krishna consciousness, is that by focusing the consciousness on Krishna, by thinking of Krishna, and our basic way of thinking of Krishna is by chanting his holy names, then gradually our consciousness begins to focus on the Supreme Lord, and then we become attached to him. And as this desire changes, then we actually become free from karma. So this is actually, just like I said, there's not an unlimited time. There's a short time. And especially it's relevant in Kali Yuga because our lives are very short. We have a very, very short time. So the purpose of that short time in this material body, the whole purpose is to actually get knowledge so that we can become liberated. In one purport, Prabhupada describes that when the living entities, they expand from Mahavishnu, he describes their purpose is somehow to catch the truth or somehow to understand the truth. So this is actually our business, that we somehow have to get the right conception, the right understanding. And we have such a short time, atato brahma jigyasa. Now we come to the human form of life. There's one verse, Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. It says we're wandering from universe to universe to universe until from the spiritual master we get the seed of devotion. So what is the seed? What is the Bhakti Lata Beach? The seed is the right idea of what to do, of how to become purified. He gives the direction what to do. So this is what to do. This is the process, Srinvata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana, that by chanting and hearing about Krishna, Krishna within our heart, he purifies us, Muktir Hidvayata Rupam, of the other conceptions. And at the same time, he gives us the proper conception. Okay, I'll leave 5 minutes for questions. Are there any questions? No, it's. I'm not talking about the origin of living entity. That's another question. But during creation, the living entities are manifest with their karma, and then in dissolution, the material manifestation winds up back in the body of Mahavishnu. In other words, if during the lifetime of Lord Brahma, you don't actually understand that you're a servant of Krishna and realize that, then during dissolution, then you yourself and your karma becomes unmanifest. And then when the creation expands, then again it comes out. You come out with your previous karma. And then the purpose, Prabhupada said, the mystery of creation is that it gives the living entities a chance to understand the truth, to understand their identity as servant of the Supreme Lord. Yeah.
One might neglect the Supreme because he feels that the Supreme is self-sufficient and doesn't need the living entity. You said that the whole has to be nourished, but he might feel that the whole is self-sufficient.
He is self-sufficient because the living entities are his energy. He's self-nourishing by the living entities. That's one of his potencies. That's how he does things. He has his Ladini Shakti, his pleasure potency. So, how does God enjoy? God enjoys by his pleasure potency, and his pleasure potency is the mood of love for him. That's his pleasure potency. So that love for him is bestowed on his parts and parcels. So he's actually, when the Supreme Lord is being nourished, he's being nourished by his own potency, his own pleasure potency. When we actually say we get love of Godhead, that potency is in an unmanifest form in our heart, but at the same time it's energized by the Lord's own Shakti. Any other questions?
Yeah. Often when we are preaching, we are asked for an advice how one can keep his consciousness free from those. You said, well, it's ego is a misconception, actually. As a person, that we are not the soul, and we are, sorry, the misconception that we are the body. Especially in the light of yesterday's very well received seminar, where I think everyone understood he's an eternal soul just passing through here. That question is very relevant. How keep your consciousness free so that the misconception comes again and again and again? It seems to be just like an unavoidable infection.
Well, there's two things. We're very, very much very, very much conditioned to that. The product of that consciousness is fruitive mentality. Fruitive mentality is we do things for ourselves. So to give up that type of mentality is very, very difficult. So the first stage of giving up that mentality is we may not be able to stop working for ourselves. I'm an artist, so I like to paint very beautiful pictures, and you know, we have some conception of I enjoy this. So practical first stage is that one starts giving some of the fruits of his activity to Krishna. That's the first way to give up some of the fruitive mentality. You may be working for yourself, you like to do business, and you may be in a fruitive consciousness, but if you start giving some of the fruits to Krishna, then that's the first thing in starting to change that consciousness. And then it becomes devotion. And there's a natural taste or attraction in the soul to serve Krishna. Prabhupada gave the example of even the aborigines, very primitive people, that when they see a mountain or a tiger or some powerful lightning, they feel in one sense that I'm part of something greater. It's a natural feeling. I'm the servant. when you feel that there's something, if you feel that you're the part, naturally you feel that the whole is greater than you. So when you actually even start looking at the material creation in that way, that I'm very insignificant and there's something greater than me, Prabhupada says flashes of God consciousness come within the soul. So it's actually a very natural thing to serve Krishna, and there's a taste in serving Krishna. So if we begin that service, even by giving some of the fruits, we'll get some taste or attraction to serve Krishna. And then what will happen? Then we'll have an attraction for hearing about him. And that's what was described in the first verse that we discussed, Sushu Shro, Shradhanasya Vasudeva Katavrachi, Syat Mahatsevana Vipra Punya Tirtana Shevana. By serving the great souls, then we get the affinity for Krishna consciousness. We get the affinity for hearing about the Supreme. It's natural. So that's the first process. And then by chanting and hearing, which is also very natural, then the natural propensity in the soul to serve is there, because it is the constitution. It's just pervertedly manifest within this world. So we just have to change the object of service. Any other questions? Yes. It generally, at the end of creation, Brahma is a post. It's a position. And it's the position of generally the most pious living entity. So generally, Lord Brahma becomes liberated at the end of creation, if he's not already liberated. In the Bhagavad Gita, it's described bhutva, bhutva, praliyate. And praliyate means destruction. Again and again and again and again and again, destruction. And the purpose of this is to detach you from the false ego, from the false conception that I am the enjoyer, because again and again and again and again, it's destroyed. It's just like when you, like a child, he builds a sandcastle, and then the ocean comes and it destroys it, and he builds it again and he destroys it, and he builds it again and he destroys it. Then after a while, if he's intelligent, he'll lose his attraction for putting his energy in that which is temporary. So when you hear these descriptions in the scriptures, the purpose of hearing the descriptions of the dissolution is to detach you. Bhutva, bhutva, praliyate. Again and again and again it gets to...
Genau, was man darin erkennen kann. Es geht also nicht darum, dass wir alle seine Musik, also Fans seiner Musik werden müssen. Das ist nicht... Die Musik ist nicht, der Musikstil ist nicht, worum es geht. Die Musik ist nur ein Transportmittel, um seine Mission, um die Krishna-bewusste Mission zu verkünden. Genauso wie wir einen anderen Freund haben, nicht Freund, einen Devotee haben, Harald, der ein Kampfkunststudio führt. Und die Leute, die dort kommen, wenn soweit sie interessiert sind, denen auch spirituelle Inhalte vermittelt. Nicht? Man kann also alles benutzen in Krishnas Dienst, darum geht es. So, ich möchte Prashkishore bitten, please, welcome in our little seminar. Hare Krishna.
If you
we have the tape ready for playing, or do you want to maybe first explain something so as to prepare them for the acoustic shock?
Maybe we should just play it and then it'll shock them a little.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm ruined. I cannot impress anyone now. First of all, I would like to offer my most respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, Srila Dhanadhar Swami, and unto his associate, Srila Satchinanda Maharaj. And I would also like to offer my obeisances unto all the devotees present here today and ask for their blessings so that I may say something proper. The first thing that you may wonder upon hearing is, what does this have to do with
ding, ding, ding,
Hare Krishna? You know, flowers and peace. And this is actually, it is quite a question. Everybody wonders, even the hardcore kids are confused. Why are the Hare Krishnas playing this loud music? In the Vedic scriptures, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first verse, the first line, Janmadyasya Yaton Vayad, it says that everything comes from. So I remember Satchinanda Maharaj yesterday, he said, you know, this music, it seems very rajarshik. How can it be, rajarshik means mode of passion. How can it be linked in a transcendental service? But even the mode of passion comes from Krishna. And even the mode of ignorance comes from Krishna. So I have some hope I can link my mode of ignorance in Krishna's service somehow. But everything is linked with the Lord. Everything comes from the Lord. Therefore, everything can be used in His service. Srila Rupa Goswami has also said, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagyam Uchyate, that the real way to be a spiritualist is not to divorce yourself from things that seem stereotypically to be no-nos or thou shalt nots or things that stereotypically seem to be not spiritual. But Rupa Goswami and Prabhupada and all our teachings say that the real way to be spiritual is by engaging everything in Krishna's service. So even music that's as loud and obnoxious as this, it's a far cry to call it music sometimes. We heard a lecture by Suhotra Maharaj, and he was saying it's actually more like noise. It's like machines now. And you can see the people's consciousness in the music that they like. Our brains have become so mechanical that we like music that sounds like cars crashing into each other and machines grinding. Whereas in the Vedic days, they had all these ragas and very subtle melodies because the people were so subtle. In any case, even cars crashing into each other and guitars on 11, even this can be... even this can be used in the service of the Lord, and it becomes spiritual. There's one purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam where Prabhupada describes a little bit about the Mahabharata. Now the Mahabharata, it is, you know, maybe I should dare say it's a little bit like a soap opera. In Germany, I don't know, is this word used, soap operas?
Yeah.
You know, it's like a great romance. There's this lady and that man, and then this strange things happen in this battle and that battle. It's quite passionate. It's there's not a lot of direct glorification of Krishna or speeches about Krishna. But Prabhupada says that the Mahabharata is accepted as fully transcendental because it's linked to Krishna. So in the same way, this music, or anything that you have in your life, any talent that you have or any disposition that you have in your life, that it's not necessarily spiritual, but you can make it spiritual, and you can make it the cause of your liberation. You can make it the chain cutter. In America, all the thugs and the punks, they have these chain cutters so they can get through fences. So we also have to be spiritual punks. And we have to get chain cutters to cut through the hard chain that clinks when we come into the temple room. So the way to cut this, what is the chain cutter? the chain cutter is your devotional service to Krishna. And what is your devotional service to Krishna? It is when you take whatever you have and you link it to the Lord by service. So you may have a guitar, you may have a sewing machine, you may have a stove, and you can cook for Krishna, you can sew for Krishna, or you could play punk rock for Krishna. But somehow or another, just link your services with, link your activities with Krishna, and then they will become fully transcendentalized, and then all the knots in your heart will be cut. I tried to say something because my spiritual master asked me to. But I think there's sometimes, if there's a very famous personality and there's a very small personality in front of him, then although he may be able to carry things in front of him, he starts dropping everything. And
who's more famous?
You are, sir. Ava Jas Kushuk Tripuvana. So anyway, I tried my best. Probably.
I have a question about it. Now you were saying everything can be used in the service of Krishna and stroke the guitar. Now I heard also Prabhupada said the sound affects your mind. So you have different chakras in the body.
Mm-hmm.
So the scientists, they made some experiments in plants with music. So they play this heavy, hard stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the plants were like this before. So and played some classical music, and they were like, kind of, but in a slow motion. And then I played a raga, and the plant sort of like go around the boxes.
Mm.
So you maybe bring over the message or whatever personal conscious or telling them about the Maya and the illusion, but the sound in itself can affect the lower chakras. The sound itself, not what you're saying, what you're singing. So maybe we would have that understanding. Rock music is not, it's not from the Veda. It comes from the Yadavas, and it's been created by the Yadavas itself. And that has a kind of effect on your lower chakra.
Well, there's this experiment with the plants. You don't need plants. Also, you could do the experiment on Braj Kishore Das. I don't know if you could still see today under my eyes, just big bags, and I'm wilting. Is the music. But it's not because of the music, but it's because I'm trying very hard to do my service every day, every night. But I don't know that much about chakras, and I don't know, as far as I understand, it's like in Kali Yuga, you can't get too subtle about things. This chakra, that music, this music. You just do as your spiritual master tells you to do. And by that means all of your chakras become liberated. You go back to Godhead. The Prabhupada told us to preach Krishna consciousness, and my spiritual master told me, do it like this. So I don't know whether it's affecting my lower chakras or not, but I really don't mind. Because my spiritual master has told me to do this, so therefore it's the cause of my liberation. And the effect that it has on their chakras is the kids at the show, it starts to make them jump up and down. So it's like the chakra means wheel. So it's like when the wheel is jumping on a bouncy road, you may complain that the road is bouncy, but it makes them jump like in a kirtan, like the car will bounce up and down on the road. So these kids start jumping, and then that's just like dancing in the kirtan. And as they jump, their karma is going away. So the chakras are also cooperating with us. Because Krishna holds the chakra. So he has command over the chakras. So if he wants to make a chakra do something that it's not supposed to do, you know, yes, rock music is going to make your chakra spin upside down. But if Krishna wants it to make your chakra spin the right way, then he'll make it. And what does Krishna want? Kantaya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. Krishna has to follow what his devotee wants, because his devotee's words cannot perish. So Prabhupada said that everyone must become Krishna conscious. Therefore, Krishna has to make these chakras spin properly if we're trying our best to serve Srila Prabhupada through our spiritual master. So I think that the wheels are spinning okay, although the plants may be dying. Is there anything else?
Möchtet ihr noch irgendetwas fragen oder sagen? Oder? Maybe you want to introduce the other members of the group to our congregation?
Yeah.
Who's doing what? And maybe they feel like addressing the congregation. These are all
Pains of Krishna students and so on and so forth.
Okay.
I don't.
Well, first I would like to introduce my dear friend, Sriman Rasraj Das Prabhu. He is the singer from 108. So now you see him in a dhoti, very calm, peaceful, but be careful. Don't put this too close to him. He starts to go like this, screaming, yelling. So we may ask him to speak, but we should keep the microphone far away. And now also there's Bhakti and Kate, who's also my mother. And in that way, she's my friend. And she's a very good guitarist, very excellent. And she's helped our band in so many ways. And she's very, very, by her grace, then the ladies that come to the concert, they don't have to look at me. They can look at her. So it's such a relief to me also, and it's such a, even more of a relief to them. They don't have to look at some ugly elephant. But, so Bhakti and Kate also plays guitar in the band. And I think the rest of them are sleeping. We have Bhakti Patrick. He's from Belgium. And he's actually, you know, they say the Mahabharata is the fifth Veda. But Patrick is the sixth member of 108. Because he's moving the amplifiers and everything. Because after a show, you can hardly go like this. You move your arm, you're so tired. So Patrick then, he becomes the Angi of the Angi. The limb of the limb. And he moves the limbs for us. He moves the equipment around. So we're very indebted to him for that. And is there somebody? And then there's Bhakti Lenny. Bhakti Lenny lives at the preaching center that Bhakti and Kate and her husband operate in New York City. Bhakti Lenny is vigorously chanting 16 rounds a day. And, yeah. And he's suing our merchandise, which means like he sells the t-shirts, the books, the records at the shows. And he's also just about doing everything else that needs to be done at any particular time. And he's also keeping us relieved. Because sometimes you get intense headaches, very, very tired. The bags under your eyes become too heavy to carry. They're heavier than your luggage. And then all that you need nearby is Bhakti Lenny. Because he always has a good joke. Or just a crazy look on his face that makes everything seem light. So we're also very indebted to Bhakti Lenny. So these are all the people there.
Satchinandana also, I heard, is in 108.
Oh, yeah. Last night we had a transcendental, very a mystical figure appeared on the stage last night. Satchinandana Maharaj. And he started chanting Hare Krishna into the microphone. And he was telling the kids to dance. And it was the high point of my life in playing music. So Satchinandana Maharaj was on the stage right next to me, and I couldn't help it. Sometimes you're supposed to be mean when you play the music. I couldn't help it. I started smiling as soon as I saw Satchinandana Maharaj smile.
I think usually the class is over 10 minutes to 9, so now the question in the minds of our friend is prasadam. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you that you came to address us.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
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 Jai.